In the passage which we have read, we have seen the encounter of Felix and the Apostle Paul. And in a simple way this evening, I would like to consider the exchange that took place between these two men. We could go into the great detail of the background and all that led up to that. But if you want to examine that, I'll let you look at that for yourself in the previous chapters. This evening, I want to consider before us a passage in which we have a prisoner and a prosecutor. We have a prisoner and a prosecutor. And I want to examine these two men in question, Felix and Paul. I want to start simply by looking at this man, Felix, that we're introduced to in these pages. And I ask the question, who was this man, Felix? Well, let me give you a little background. Antonius Felix was formerly a slave with his brother, but he was promoted by Claudius Caesar to the officer of governor. The Roman historian Tacitus described Felix as a cruel, licentious, and base individual. While in Judea, Felix was attracted to this woman who we now see as his wife, Drusilla. And she was a daughter of Herod Agrippa the First. Again, a very evil, violent man. And this Drusilla was already married to another man, but yet this made no difference to Felix. He had been married twice before, and really a third time was of no significance to him. He enticed her away from her husband, and they later married. And Felix was a man who, in many regards throughout his life, had sinned grievously before the Lord by his actions, by his words, by his behaviour. This really was a very sinful man. Felix was governor of Judea and Samaria when the Apostle Paul was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. And because a mob was planning to kill Paul, those that were in authority in Rome commanded Paul to be taken and, for his own safety, moved even and to be brought before Felix in the night. He was accompanied by 200 soldiers to Caesarea so that his case could be heard. When Paul arrived in Caesarea, Felix, the governor, read a letter which was sent from the Roman commander to him. And when he heard of the reason that Paul had been sent, he was curious as to what the whole matter was. After a number of days, the Jewish leaders accused Paul of being a troublemaker, and they made many false accusations against him. And as we have read, Paul denied the charges that were laid before him and gave answer for himself. But this man, Felix, he was very well informed about the background of Paul. He knew of this sect that the Jews accused Paul of being part of. We read there in our passage that he was aware of those who were called to walk the way, those who belonged to Jesus Christ, to those who served Jesus Christ and who testified of him. He was a man not altogether ignorant of the religion of which Paul preached either. He is, on the other hand, spoken of one who had a more perfect knowledge of that way. This man had some education and background to Judaism and to the ways of Christ. One commentator notes, Felix sinned against light and knowledge and was therefore, so to speak, on the high road to utter hardness and blindness of heart, but he had not arrived at that condition yet. If he had not, he would not have trembled when Paul spoke of judgment to come. And so this man, with his knowledge, and yet being such a sinful man, wished to hear more. His curiosity was getting the better of him. He was intrigued. And it brings us to the verses before us. As judge over the matter, Felix takes the liberty of questioning Paul concerning his faith. Drusilla, his wife, being a Jewess, would have had considerable knowledge of the law of God and the customs of which Paul spoke. And this, therefore, added interest. But, dear friend, this man Felix, in his reaction to Paul, reminds me of so many across our land this evening. In fact, there are many who seem to sit in churches for a while, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and be quite content with that. They seem to be happy to attend when suits them. They seek to judge for themselves concerning the authority of Scripture. They may even ask questions to please their curiosity. They may seek to know more. They may question different matters throughout Scripture. But yet, they wish the matter of salvation, the matter of the Scriptures, to be on their own terms. Like Felix, they want to be in control of the situation. And if they don't like what they're hearing, they will simply dismiss it to another time. I wonder, are you such a one, my friend? Like Felix and Drusilla, you can content to come to church whenever suits. You will listen perhaps online, but it must be on your terms. And you are the judge of your own destiny. And as far as you are concerned, that's the way it will stay. Oh, I will make up my mind, and I will make up my mind in my way and in my time and on my terms. Was that not how it was with this man? Oh, yes, he had a desire and interest to know more, but he wanted to be in control of the situation. He was, as it were, the judge. He was, as it were, the prosecutor with the prisoner standing before him. And as it were, he would call the shots, even as he had called Paul to stand before him and give an account of these things. So we have considered this man, Felix, but I want to consider also this evening the message of Paul. The message of Paul. Friends, there's a number of things that we can look at in this passage. I want us to notice that the message that Paul preached, the message that Paul brought to this man Felix and his wife Drusilla, was the message that Paul proclaimed no matter where he went. Paul was not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of the gospel which he taught. He was not ashamed to stand up and be counted for his Lord and his Saviour. Whether it was in the streets of the towns and cities, whether it was in the synagogue or in the palaces or the courts of the land, whether to the ordinary people or the intellectual minds of the day, or to those that were held in the balances of life and death, Paul remained faithful. His message was always of Christ and of his power to save from the punishment of hell. Dear friend, Paul's message, as we know, stirred many people up. It was despised of many. It was hated of many. It caused difficulties where he went. He was beaten. He was stoned because of the message that he proclaimed. But it was always the same message. Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. Dear friend, you may not always find the message preached from this pulpit to your taste. But dear friend, it will be faithful teaching from God's word. And God's word is truth, and we can preach no other. Oh, there are many across our land today that would seek to water down the message of Scripture. But dear friend, Paul stood firm upon the foundations of God's word. Paul stood firm upon the foundations of his faith. Paul stood fast in the truth that Jesus Christ can set the sinner free, for the Lord had saved him and redeemed him. And dear friend, the Lord can do the same for you this evening. And it is our duty to proclaim that message to you this evening. As I say, you may not perhaps at times like it. It may not be to your taste. But upon this book we stand, we can do none else. But what was this message that Paul brought? Well, verse 25, which I would like to take as our text, gives us Paul's sermon. And it consisted of three parts. We read there, In verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. This was the message that Paul brought. A three-part message in one sense. He spoke of righteousness first. In the broad sense, we all see in our own lives a form of self-righteousness, do we not? Is that not how we judge ourselves? Regardless of what the situation may be. Oh yes, we may judge ourselves by the righteousness of somebody else, but it's upon our own self-righteousness that we consider. How often have we heard the phrase used, or perhaps even used it ourselves, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so down the road. What are we doing? We're judging ourselves upon our own righteousness. And we're looking at the works of somebody else or the actions of somebody else and say, well, I'm better than them, so I'm okay. Dear friend, that is what self-righteousness is. It's taking the good things that we think in our lives and presenting them as being our standard. Oh yes, even the worst of men see themselves as righteous in one way or another. A dictator in a communist land will consider himself righteous. You say, well, how can that be? Well, he thinks he is providing safety and stability for his people. He's protecting them from extremism, from socialism, and so on. I'm sure even Hitler considered himself to be righteous. Why? Because he wanted to bring in a perfect race. Therefore, he used that to justify his horrendous atrocities. He had an idea of righteousness within himself. That was on what he worked. Felix was no different, nor even was Drusilla, his wife. The historians say he was guilty of much cruelty and injustice throughout his government. And Drusilla was no better. She had learned from the best, her father and her grandfather, both very wicked men. It is said of Felix that he had the power of a king with the mind of a slave. He was cruel, brutal, in every way. And therefore it was very appropriate that the apostle spoke on this subject of righteousness. Without any doubt, Paul went further than the necessity of a righteousness amongst men. I'm sure he pointed out the mistakes, the failures that this man had made. He pointed out the errors in his life. And he showed this man, Felix, that there was little or no righteousness in and of himself. Dear friend, we can be certain that Paul made this couple aware of their own unrighteousness also in the light of the law of God to which they would have been familiar. He pointed them to the scriptures. He pointed them to the commandments. That he showed from God's word that they were unrighteous in the sight of God. This in turn opened the door for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. For as I'm sure we're familiar, Paul quotes in Romans chapter 3 and 10 from Psalm 14 that there is none righteous, no, not one. And the scriptures go on to show that God loves righteousness and hates iniquity. And therefore, to have anything ungodly and unrighteous in heaven is completely contrary to his nature. God cannot look upon sin or unrighteousness. And dear friend, this evening, no matter how righteous you may feel within yourself, let me assure you, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as the scripture tells us. Your sin has separated you from God. And of yourself and in yourself, you can never obtain eternal life because there is no righteousness within you. Your own righteousness, your own good works, account for nothing in the sight of a holy and a just God. But praise the Lord, there was one who was righteous, There was one who was sinless, and there was one who could meet the demands of the law of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left the splendor of heaven. He humbled himself and took on the form of man. He lived a life of a perfect obedience to the law of God, fulfilling it in every part. And he went willingly to Calvary's cross, suffering the scorn, the rebuke, the punishment of man, to bleed and die for sinners like you and I. And Paul, I'm sure, without doubt, showed this man Felix and his wife the Christ of Calvary, the only one righteous, the righteous Son of God. I'm sure Paul, without any shadow of a doubt, told them that the only righteousness that they could have was through Christ. The only acceptance of God was through the finished work of Christ. Dear friend, you and I can never attain eternal life of our own accord. We can never meet the standard of God in and of ourselves. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of a holy and a just God when he shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. And praise God, he rose victorious from the grave. And he is seated at the Father's right hand. And there, before the Father, he pleads for his children. And dear friend, this evening, you can have to you, as Scripture says, imputed, placed upon you the righteousness of Christ, if you'll only seek forgiveness for your sins and trust in him. Well, Paul showed Felix his unrighteousness, but he also showed him the righteousness of Christ. Dear friend, this evening, will you not lay aside all your efforts? Will you not stop trying to work your way to heaven to please God by your own efforts? Will you not trust Christ alone, the holy and righteous Son of God, who gave himself for your sins upon Calvary's cross? But notice with me also that Paul spoke of temperance. He spoke of temperance. The word temperance is used to denote moderation or restraint in regard to eating and drinking, particularly to abstinence from the use of alcohol. But the original word here denotes the restraint of the evil of all the passions and evil inclinations of the heart, and may be applied to prudence and chastity and moderation in general. The particular thing in the life of Felix, which Paul probably has in view in this passage, was the indulgence of a lustful desire. Felix had enticed his way into the life of another man's wife, and now they lived in adultery together, and she was by his side whilst hearing this discourse. Oh, Felix, he lived a life of excess in every way. Oh, the world was at his fingertips. He was in control. And whatever he wanted, he took. Sad to say, our society is becoming more and more like Felix. The sanctity of marriage is being threatened every day. It is no longer seen as a sin for our young people to have multiple intimate relationships before marriage. Marriage is no longer considered as necessary with many. What of divorce? Well, it doesn't matter. We'll just move on. Is that not what the world says? Was that not the case with Felix? Oh, there was no sanctity in marriage. There was no respect for the laws of God in marriage. No. What Felix wanted, he took. Well, dear friend, you may call me old-fashioned if you want, but God's word has not changed. God's word is still the same. And sin is sin no matter what glasses you put on, no matter what way you look at it. Dear friends, have we lost sight of the truth of God's word? Sad to say, across our land, There were many sins that seemed to be creeping their way into the church. And they're seen now as acceptable, commonplace. Well, that's just the way society is, and we have to accept it. Dear friends, that's not the case. God's word has not changed. And God does not look any differently upon sin today as he did when Paul stood before Felix. Paul spoke to Felix about temperance. Oh, dear friend, I wonder, what way are you? What are your views? Are they contrary to God's word? Oh, that you would see the sinfulness even of Felix in your own life. But not only did he preach of righteousness and temperance, but he also spoke of judgment. No faithful preacher of the gospel can preach of righteousness and temperance without speaking of judgment to come. And yet so many clergymen, pastors, reverends, canons, bishops and priests across our land today have done such. They have preached, if I can use that word, a message which is pleasing to the ears of their congregations. A message that a God of love could never condemn someone to hell. In fact, sad to say, many would even claim that such a place even exists. And many that deny such a place will one day have their blinded eyes open. And sad to say, having the truth before them, they will find themselves cast out into God's eternity. And what a sad state our land is in. Their blinded eyes do not see the judgment of God. And they do not tell their congregations of the judgment of God. But dear friend, as I've said before, we have to be faithful to the book. We have to be faithful to God's word. And God's word speaks of judgment to come for those that reject Christ as Lord and Saviour of their lives. God's word speaks of a real place called hell. A place of torture and a place of torment. Not the figment of a preacher's imagination, but the truth of God's word. And God will not permit those who have not repented of their sin, those who have not trusted Christ as their Saviour, to spare into eternity and glory. Dear friend, your sin condemns you to hell. Well, you may think that's harsh. Dear friend, I say that in love. In love for your never dying soul. I say it in love that you may see that Christ died for you and gave himself for you, but that you must trust in him for salvation. Dear friend, there is judgment to come for those that do not trust Christ. Oh, I wonder one day, will you face God as your judge? Will you one day be cast out into hell for all eternity because you've rejected Christ as your Saviour? My prayer is tonight that there should be none such in this gathering. Oh, friend, it is an interesting thought to consider that here was a Paul as a prisoner before Felix, the prosecutor, and the tables were turned. Now Paul is telling Felix of judgment to come. Paul, as it were, is the prosecutor, and Felix is the prisoner. The prisoner to his sin. The prisoner to Satan. What a sad situation. Paul warns Felix of the danger of delaying in his sin. One day he will meet Christ as supreme judge over all. And unless he turns to Christ, unless he accepts Christ, then the verdict on that day will be, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting torment. Oh, what dreadful words. Dear friend, Paul did not fear the outcome of what Felix would do unto him. He knew that he was in the will of God. He knew he was resting secure in Christ as his Saviour and his Lord. He knew that one day he would spend all eternity in the presence of his Saviour and his King. But Felix had no such peace. He had little peace on earth, for at any moment he could be removed from his position of authority by one means or another. Oh, he was in a precarious situation. And if he was to leave this scene of time, then his soul would be lost in hell. The torture that this man had inflicted on those to whom he had pronounced judgment in the past would be insignificant to that which would be pronounced on him from the one who holds the keys of death and hell. Dear friend, I wonder, have you ever stopped to consider your eternity? Well, yes, you're trusting, as we've mentioned, in your own righteousness. Well, I'll tell God all the good things I have done and it'll be okay. My friend, it doesn't work like that. Only those that are trusting in Christ, only those that have asked Christ to forgive them of their sins, only those that have made Christ Lord of their lives will spend eternity in glory. God is righteous, and all sin must be punished. James chapter 1 and verse 15 tells us, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But let us consider in closing the mistake of Felix. The mistake of Felix. In our text we read, and as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. What a powerful statement. This man with great authority, this man who sat and ruled over the province, this man who faced many things, who carried out many judgments, who faced the worst of men in society. The Apostle Paul stands before him and he preaches to him righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix trembles. Felix trembles. Well, the message of Paul hit a nerve, as we would say. And although man cannot create an anxious thought, it is only the Holy Spirit that stirs the conscience of the unsaved soul. And Felix trembled. Dear unsaved friend, perhaps you know something of what I'm talking about. You heard the gospel in Christ, of Christ in days gone by. Perhaps you even grew anxious and you were faced with your own unrighteousness before God. The thought of giving up your pleasure disturbed your mind and you were troubled in your soul. Or you wondered whether your unsaved companions or some other pursuits would be put in place of coming to Christ. And the consideration of the judgment of the Lord caused you concern. And perhaps, like Felix, you trembled. In your haste to relieve your fear, like Felix, you said to the Lord, not today, not today. Felix replied to Paul. He said, this time, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Dear friend, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Not one of us knows what lies ahead. Not one of us knows what tomorrow will bring. Nor even if tomorrow will come. And Felix put off coming to Christ. Felix trembled and turned his back and walked away. Paul, I'll hear you again. And maybe you're saying, preacher, not tonight. Not tonight. Oh, I want to enjoy the pleasures of life for one more day, one more week,
One more year.
Oh, I've plenty of time. You put it off. You turn your back. Dear friend, Felix missed a wonderful opportunity to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. He put it off. The Lord had brought about such a meeting in his providence. And Felix rejected the message of the gospel. Dear friend, the Lord has given you opportunity to hear the message of the gospel once again. Will you put it off? Will you put it off? What is your reason for delay? What is your reason for not coming to Christ? For Felix, was it because of his relationship with Drusilla? Was it for fears of the Jews that he sought to keep on his side? Was it for his social status, his lavish lifestyle? Was it for the love of money that he hoped to receive as a bribe from Paul and his followers? We shall never know. But what of you, my friend? What is your reason for not coming to Christ this evening? Do you tremble at his words? The Lord says in Genesis 6, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Felix turned his back and walked away. He said, I'll hear you again another time. And we read that Felix met with him often. He communed with him the oftener. But whenever again do we hear of Felix trembling? Never do we read of Felix putting his trust in Christ. The day of opportunity was past. And my friend, what if for you the day of opportunity passes this evening? And you're left outside of Christ, with no hope nor refuge nigh. Oh, what then? No remedy but an eternity ahead of you in the torments of hell. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. Dear friend, this evening as we come to the close of our meeting, I ask you, will you not come to Christ? Will you say, preacher, how do I come to Christ? Dear friend, accept that in the eyes of a holy and a just God, you're separated by your sin. Repent of your sin. Seek forgiveness. Ask Christ to come into your life. Trust him for all eternity. Make him Lord over your life. And surrender fully to him. God's word tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, if you want to know your sins forgiven this evening, then simply call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. We can't save you, but if you need help, we can show you the way. Please speak to us. If you're listening online, please get in touch. And we will show you Christ, the Savior of mankind, the one who can save you and rescue you for your sin and from the punishment of hell. One preacher once said, there are those who expect to leave salvation to the 11th hour, but often they die at 10:30. Dear friend, will you not trust Christ tonight? Felix trembled. Amen.